Such familiar words, aren't they? We use them at every wedding I've ever been a part of, and that I added them up one time, and there were like 400 weddings that I had either been the officiant for, or had played music for, or sang for, or one thing or another, and I cannot remember one that did not use this scripture in some way or another. Love, 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 it's all over it. Love, 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 you just can't get away from it. Paul explains that love is not something warm and fuzzy, though. When he gets into this scripture, he's giving us more. He's giving us more depth. He says things that are very practical. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. There is nothing sentimental about that. That's where the rubber hits the road. I mean, love is patient, even when he leaves his dirty socks on the floor for the, how many times have you told him, please don't do that anymore? Love is kind, even when the dinner that she cooked for you would not be top rated in the annals of great food. Love does not envy when she gets a raise and you don't. The list goes on and on, practical stuff, but if husbands and wives routinely treated each other like this, we would not see one half of marriages in America fail in divorce. This weekend in the news, it was reported that Barbie and Ken finally broke up after all their years together. Yeah, it's very sad. Not even dolls are eternal, it seems. Love is so often talked about, but it's so often misunderstood. Paul defines some of the behaviors of love. Let me say them again. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. Oops. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. And then it's as though he breaks into a song and he moves from the recitative to sing the aria. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And as Paul sings this aria of love, you have to wonder whether he has slipped over the edge from hard-headed descriptions into some sort of a sentimentality. We want to say, come on, come on, Paul, get real. But if there's one thing we know about Paul, is that he's not a gushy sentimentalist. He is an utter realist who's witnessed love's triumph and also its apparent failures, but who still believes that God's love is in Jesus Christ. And so he still believes that in all of that, in God's great power in the world, for love for Paul, it is a power that subdues every evil, overcomes every obstacle, and firmly believes in every person. But the question for us is what this all means in our own cramped and frantic lives, where we often stumble under heavy burdens. We teeter on the edge of despair and wonder whether we can go on. Can love really do all that it's cracked up to do? Can love's power work in the middle of the hurts and disappointments of real life? So let's take up a little bit of this list that Paul gives us, this list of love's awesome powers, one by one, and examine how they might work in our lives. First of all, love bears all things. There's a little problem with this translation, and I rarely work this sort of stuff into sermons, but the Greek here is a word that means stego, can sometimes mean to bear up under pressure. Love bears up under pressure, but that seems to be a bit redundant in the list of last of Paul's statements. Love endures all things. We're going to get to that. There is another meaning to the word that is probably closer to Paul's meaning here. Not that love bears up, but that love bears all things up. Listen to what I said. Not that love bears up, but love bears up all things up. Love carries us along through difficult and distressing times. I don't know about you, but I can get behind that. C.S. Lewis in The Four Loves wrote these words, "To love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything, and your heart will certainly be wrung and possibly be broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give your heart to no one, not even an animal. Wrap it carefully around with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in the casket or coffin of your own selfishness. But in that casket, safe and dark, motionless, airless, it will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, and irredeemable. The only place outside heaven where you can be perfectly safe from all dangers of love is hell. Wow. You know, we need sometimes just to figure out how to bear with each other. We figure this out through all of the different ministries of our church as we do the different things that we plan. You know, we're sort of in that in-between period now where people are heading home to wherever it is where it's unpleasant up there, so much so that you have to come back down here in just a few months, and we're fine with that. We'll miss you while you're gone. But we plan our ministries, and we get things together. When things are going on here all the time, it doesn't stop just because you're not here. We keep it going. And we do it because we love what we do. We love each other. Love bears with one another. And that means we go into this time of planning with commitment to hear each other out. It means we bear with each other's foibles and quirks, and we honor each other's passions and gifts and insights. We realize that some people are excited by change and growth while others are scared and reluctant. But love bears up all our brothers and sisters with a commitment that refuses to leave anyone behind. Love bears up all things. Secondly, love believes all things. This is a difficult one, isn't it? I mean, it sounds like love is gullible. You know, we'll just basically understand anything. Does love believe the sensational stories and those gibberish magazines in the grocery store? Does it bank on the sincerity of everyone who calls you on the phone, every phone solicitor? Does it believe all things? The opposite end, of course, is cynicism. The cynic believes almost nothing. The cynic thinks that behind every act of goodness or love, well, there's some self-interest there someplace. And most of us live somewhere between two extremes of gullibility and skepticism. We deal with people carefully, not assuming that everybody's a liar, but knowing that some people do. We might be willing to give others the benefit of the doubt, but we will not surrender our doubts. We may trust that in others, but only to a point. So in what sense does love, quote, believe all things? Love expects and desires the best from others. Love is willing to give the second chance, third, and the fourth. How often should I forgive my brother or sister? Peter asks Jesus. 7 times? And Jesus says, no, 7 times 7. Love finds a way to go the extra mile. There's a certain reckless streak, you see, in love. Its main interest is not self-protection, but self-giving. To love is to be willing to take chances with people. It's willing to get ripped off. It's not too worried about being taken for a ride. If love seems a little naive sometimes, it's because it doesn't realize that there are cheats and liars out there. Not just that, it doesn't, but it just refuses to calculate those odds. John Calvin put it this way, and I don't get to quote him very often. He said, the Christian will reckon it better to be imposed upon by his own good kindness than to wrong his brother with unfriendly suspicion. Yeah, they talked like that back then. Yeah. I remember one time there was a big debate about our food bank at a previous church. They've been doing the food bank now for 35 years. And it started from an empty room that we had in the office. We said, why can't we put food in here and let people come one day a week and get food? It just blossomed. It's an amazing food bank, like I said, that's still going on. But the question was, do we give out food just willy-nilly, or how much do we check with people to make sure that they really need it? And the rule was, anybody that comes by that has a child gets food, just flat out. They got a child. Even if it's not their child, we don't check that, but, you know, go grab a random child and bring them with you, and you're going to get a bag full of food. But it was difficult to convince people of this, some, because they really didn't want to get ripped off. Well, how do we be more careful about the food that we give out? And my answer to them is just a bag of food. We're not giving the crown jewels away to some people. We're just giving them a bag of food. And I said, it's always better to be generous to someone who may not need it so that you are generous to the ones that do. Isn't that what Calvin was saying? The Christians will reckon it better to be imposed upon by their own kindness than to wrong his brother with unfriendly suspicion. Be generous. When we say love believes all things, we mean that love believes in what ought to be believed. And what ought to be believed is the ultimate God-given dignity and worth of every person. This is very important. Love does not deny the sin, the indecency, the violence that people can do, but love believes that every person, from the liar to the murderer to the on death row to the corrupt politicians, all of them are of infinite value. Love knows that God infinitely cares for every single person on this planet. Every single one was made in the image of God, and Christ has died for each and every one sin. Love doesn't give up on people. Love does not give it up. Love bears all things, believes all things, and third, hopes all things. The world tends to do everything it can to squeeze hope out of us. Apathy, indifference, and despair take over. He's hopeless, they'll say. She's just a loser. But the self-giving love of God in our hearts keeps telling us that all things are possible. It strengthens us to keep hoping in the dark, knowing that God is in control. It keeps seeing a new world with new possibilities everywhere we turn. It's the hope born of love that hangs in there when an alcoholic friend falls off the wagon again. It's hope born of love that refuses to give up on a marriage when love seems dead from betrayal or bitterness. Loving hope is contagious. It ignites hope. The determination of the brokenhearted and the discouraged. But there's a problem there, isn't there? I mean, what of marriages that are not mended, hopes that are dashed again and again? No matter how much we love it, it seems absurd to speak of unlimited hope in the face of reality. Lou Smeads says that love is the power that keeps hoping without setting due dates. Despair comes from the deadlines we set too early and the hopes that we define too narrowly. Real hope lets go of our demands and accepts people as they are and leaves them in the loving hands of God. Hope is the power to love people as they are, even when we desperately want them to be different from what they are. Hope trusts in God's future of endless possibilities and is therefore able to live with hopelessness, even amid the brokenness of the world today. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. And lastly, love endures all things. Endurance is the power to keep going day by day, to move one foot in front of the other when all you want to do is give up and stay home. It's the gift, it's the grit that is in our hearts that keeps us moving. Endurance comes from love. There's another word for it, courage. We think of courage as that little extraordinary quality of people in battle, of injured athletes finishing the race, of firefighters entering a building to rescue a child. But courage is the endurance of love and the struggles of everyday life. It's the third grader who goes to school every day knowing that he will face a bully. It's what keeps a parent going when her baby cries night after night. It's what enables us to slog through days of loneliness or grief. It's the determination of the grown son to keep caring for his mother with Alzheimer's, even though she's in a different world. That kind of daily endurance in life's trenches of life lives off of love. The love of people who depend on you, the love of those you hang in there for, and finally, the love of God. Ernest Heyman, in a book called Bits and Pieces, wrote, "You can see them alongside the shuffleboard courts in Florida or on the porches of old folks' homes up north. An old man with snow-white hair, a little hard of hearing, reading the newspaper through a magnifying glass.
An old woman in a shapeless dress, her knuckles gnarled by arthritis, wearing sandals to ease her aching arches. They are holding hands, and in a little while they will totter off to take a nap, and then she will cook supper, not a very good supper, and they will watch television, each knowing exactly what the other is thinking until it is time for bed. They may even have a good soul-stirring argument just to prove that they still really care. And through the night they will snore unabashedly, each resting content because the other is there. They are in love. They have always been in love, although sometimes they would have denied it. And because they have been in love, they have survived everything that life could throw at them, even their own failures. Endurance is the power of love to go on when everything seems to be falling apart. A couple is going through a period of deep misunderstanding and conflict. The endurance born of love means they will sit across the breakfast table and know they will keep on trying. Love is the power that gradually, persistently, with complete honesty about how difficult life can be, keeps on trying, because love will not permit you to give up. So one step, 1 minute, 1 day at a time, you keep going. That's what love does. Now, I'm going to share with you my favorite story. I've said that before. They're all my favorite stories. But this is a tough one. This is a really tough one. And I will read it to you exactly how this doctor wrote it. But I want you to listen carefully to it, because I only usually use it about once every 10 years. But it's still my favorite story. This is a story told by Dr. Richard Seltzer, and this story changed my life when I heard it, and I've never forgotten it. This is what he wrote. I stand by the bed where a young woman lies, her face post-operative, her mouth twisted in palsy, clownish. A tiny twig of the facial nerve, the one to the muscles of her mouth, has been severed. She will be thus from now on. I had followed with religious fervor the curve of her flesh, I promise you that. Nevertheless, to remove the tumor in her cheek, I had to cut the little nerve. Her young husband is in the room. He stands on the opposite side of the bed, and together they seem to dwell in the evening lamplight, isolated from me, private. Who are they, I ask myself, he and this wry mouth I have made, who gaze at each other and touch each other so generously? Greedily. The young woman speaks. Will my mouth always be like this? She asks. Yes, I say, it will. It is because the nerve was cut. She nods and is silent, but the young man smiles. I like it, he says. It is kind of cute. And all at once I know who he is. I understand, and I lower my gaze. One does not hope bold in an encounter with God. Unmindful, he bends to kiss her crooked mouth, and I am so close. I can see how he twists his own lips to accommodate to hers, to show her that their kiss still works. Love bears, believes, hopes, endures all things. And love's song was never sung with more soaring passion than it was on the cross. There in pain and agony and mockery and ridicule, love bore all things, believed all things, hoped all things, endured all things. Love, that awesome power which comes right from the heart of Almighty God, love that transforms the universe, that tells us over and over again that God's kiss still works. Now, you've probably heard it before, and I think about this when I'm down at the beach. It's a great old story. This one's not my favorite story. But it's a little boy. He's walking down the beach, and it's littered with starfish. It's one of those times, you know, when the starfish are everywhere. You know, why they all came up at that time is like they had a party, and the water left them, and they're stranded, and they're all going to die. And as he goes, he takes the starfish, and he throws it in, he picks up another one, he throws it, and he's walking. He's just picking up and tossing starfish back into the ocean. And this man sees him, he says, "Son, you know, you're not going to be able to save all those starfish. The sun will be here and hot, and it will kill them all eventually before you can throw them back. You're really not going to be able to make a difference." And the little boy's reply was, "I can make a difference to that one, and that one, and that one," as he threw starfish back into the ocean. You, friends, can make a difference. You can make a difference in this world. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Let us pray. Our Father, we talk about this word all of the time, not just here, but where we go on the streets and throughout our lives. And so many of us struggle with what it really means. And many of us feel like we have been failed in this, and that somehow it has not been ours the way that we thought that it would or should. And then we look at ourselves and wonder, are we sharing that love like we know that we should? And so it's an easier word to ignore if we pretend we don't understand it. But then you teach us, and then we do understand it, and that can make us very uncomfortable. Help us to be people who are known by the love that we share with this world and with each other and with ourselves. We make this prayer in the name of the great love, Jesus Christ. Amen.